And the guitar music is coming to you live from the Museum of Alaska Transportation Industry. This is KVRF Sutton, K208 BC Palmer, Radio Free Palmer, broadcasting at 89.5 FM, Big Cabbage Radio. Now back to our music live from Museum of Alaska Transportation and Industry.
And thank you all for joining us here at the Historical Museum of Alaska Transportation and Industry, affectionately known as MATI, just outside the city of Wasilla, for another edition of Alaska Home Companion. My name is Randy Perlman, and I'll be your host for the evening. If our luck holds and the Willowas be at our backs, the show will be broadcast to you live by Radio Free Palmer, 89.5 KVRF FM. At this time, as a courtesy to those around you, and because we can, I would like you to remind you to turn off your cell phones, please. There will be no texting, tweeting, or Instagramming during the acting of this show, as it distracts the cast and they get downright testy. We have a jam-packed lineup for you tonight. Along with the Alaska Home Companion cast, the band No Wake will be singing some of their original songs. Matt Hammer will play a couple of his Alaskan classics. And A.J. Sims will be spinning some tall tales. Remember to pick up your refreshments in the back. Proceeds assist MATI. Of course, we wouldn't be here tonight, hopefully entertaining you, without our wonderful sponsors. So I'd like to take just a few minutes to thank them tonight. And please, audience, help me out there with this. Swan's Duct Tape, we seal your ducts. Alaska's best employed and most colorful babysitter. Used by Alaskan moms for over 50 years. Yay, duct tape. Downdraft Airlines, we drop you anywhere in the bush. Matanuska Maid, conceived under the northern lights. Milk it for all it's worth. Id Graphics, creators of I Did a Poop, because everyone needs a little crap in their life. Fireside Booksellers, good books, bad coffee. Steve's Toyo Stove Repair, be cool, stay warm, keep a hottie by your side. Make a Scene. This is the place to make it, keeping you informed on the latest art scene. Repurposing is our passion. Recycle used issues for fire starter or birdcage liners. Alaska Wild Bird Rehabilitation Center, helping Alaska's feathered friends on a wing and a prayer. Sucker Fly and Tackle. There's a sucker floated every minute. Radio Free Palmer, promoting community through radio, like it or not. Museum of Alaska Transportation and Industry, our gracious host tonight. It's more than just planes, trains, and automobiles. MATI, transporting us through Alaska's industry. And last, but certainly not least, the Valley Arts Alliance, bringing the community together through the arts beautifully. So folks, sit back, relax, and enjoy a home-style, home-spun version of Tall Tales and just plain old fun with Alaska Home Companion. And to start our show tonight, we have our very own multi-talented mistress from Palmer, Miss Hillary Safran. Hillary is an actress, comedian, ventriloquist, singer, author of the hilarious new book, Laughing Your Way Through Hell, and all-around Wonder Woman. Hillary, how do you do it, and what will you be starting us off with tonight?
Thank you. Well, winter's coming. I know. We got to be brave, all of us. Yeah, I know. I'm not alone feeling this way. I know. kiss, say like goodbye. The sweetness of the summer, I know, wish me.
We're having some technical difficulties. We hope to get the Maddie broadcast going through soon. I hear it here in the studio. It's just not going out over the airwaves.
But I can't forget what I did for son, what I did for son. Look, my skin is dry. Too much tanning and UV rays. But I know it felt so good. And I won't regret what I did for son, what I did for son. My skin is pale. I'm back to wearing layers. Take me to Hawaii now. Have to take 43. All I want.
To follow that act. So here on Alaska Home Companion, we have a very wide variety of talents to be seen and heard from. Now we have Miss Nikki Pease with a colorful outfit. Ms. B. Haven. Mark your calendars for February 15th, 2014, for the next runway fashion show, wearable art fashion show at the Parma Depot, next February 15th. Now, Sandra Cook is no newcomer to Alaska, but if you weren't born here, you know there's definitely an adjustment period. And Sandra is here tonight to relate her experience on returning to Alaska.
In In 1998, I decided to move back to Alaska after 15 years' absence. In December, it all came together when newly made friends invited me to house sit while they spent the winter in Mexico. This is how it went. Day one, December 18th, left Peoria late afternoon with my cat, Maxie, in tow. Decided not to drug her, traveled well to Minneapolis. However, on the flight to Anchorage, she opened her mouth. As though that wasn't bad enough, 3 hours into the flight, she discovered how to open the top of her carrier and escape on a full flight. Rest of the flight, I was double over in my seat, making sure she was quiet and didn't run off. Wished I'd taken the drugs. Disembarked in Anchorage, 10 degrees and 4 feet of snow. No room in case car for cat or luggage because of survival gear. Arrived at the house on the upper hillside, introduced Maxie to Skitter, case cat. Fight ensued. It's going to be a long, long night. Day two. As the cats became familiar with one another, Kay showed me house stuff, then Bob showed me the rest, including all the critters also in my care. Geese, ducks, rabbits, chickens, roosters, and a rooster named Angel. The chicken coop also housed the rabbits. Bob warned me of the rooster, Angel, who had 3-inch long razor-sharp spurs on his legs and liked to attack. Next was the shed where the geese and ducks resided. As Bob left, he said, just in passing, you know, if it gets to 30 below, you know, it just never does. Close the door and pull. It never gets that cold. With the brief details of the house and instructions on cat and critter care, Kay and Bob warmer climates. Cats are hissing, fighting, and screeching. Day three, 12 below this morning, 2 feet of fresh snow. Total, 6 feet. Shoveled my way to the chicken coop. Fed chickens and rabbits first. Angel, the rooster, devil incarnate, attacked as I bent down to pick up the water dish. Made it out unscathed. Note to self, don't touch metal latches or handles with bare, wet hands. On to the goose compound. Water trough for the geese is heavy with ice. Bob made bouncing it on its side look so easy. Rabbit urine and goose droppings are ruining my only coat. Cat's still going at it. Skitter made her position clear. She's on the bed with me at night. Maxie sleeps in the bathroom with one eye open. 3 a.m., Skitter boxes Maxie's ears. More hissing, screeching, and howling. Day 5, think one of the chickens is... I could swear there were 4 chickens. Geese hiss at me when I enter the compound. However, I am building muscles, lifting the frozen water trough and hauling water buckets. Day 14, New Year's. Happy New Year's! Miracle. At the stroke of midnight, the cats touch noses. A truce and hopefully a full night's sleep of uninterrupted sleep. Day 22nd. Second week of 30 below. Packed snow, ice, goose droppings in front of the shed door, digging, chipping, shoveling ensues. Rug permanently cemented to the roof of the shed. Dumb rabbits urinate next to the door, icing it shut. Door to chickens, also ice shut, courtesy of the rabbits. Note to self, stop giving the damn rabbit so much water. Angel attacked, fended him off with a backhand. Note to self, need more duct tape for Bob's coat. Decided there should be a new Olympic event, water trough hurling. I'm getting good at it. Scheduling job interviews around critter care. After all, job hunting was the reason I came here. Locked the cats out of the bedroom. Plenty of screeching, howling, sleep. Sweet sleep. it's a thing of the past. Day 44, warmed up slightly, but now we have 80 mile per hour wind. Sleeping on the main floor in case the roof comes off. Day 45, schlepped water buckets through 2 feet. 2 feet of heavy, wet, wind-blown, and hardened snow. Shoveled door to chicken coop open. Still chipping rabbit urine. Stupid rooster still attacking. Lost more feathers out of Bob's coat. Had to stand on the bucket to climb over the gate to get into the goose compound. Cats tearing at one another. I could use Maxie's drugs. Note to self, put the cats in with Angel. Day 86. Kay and Bob arrived from Mexico last night, tanned, refreshed. Cats civil to one another, almost pleasant. Cheerfully they shared what a wonderful time they had and how warm and relaxing their trip was. Kay turned to me and said, "And how was your stay, Sandra?"
Tonight, we have Pat Wake and his son, Sean Renard Wake, of the local band No Wake. Welcome, Pat and Sean, who we've already heard a little bit from. Can you tell us a little bit about your band and what you have in store for us tonight?
Sure. We've been playing in the area for the last couple years, and down in North Carolina with other two sons. I need to get plugged in.
You'll find me sitting at the edge of a meadow, chewing on a willow weed. And I feel the cold wind blowing on my face, and I see the mountain so high. But I ain't got a car, and I ain't got no money, and I hope that you don't mind. 'Cause I'd like to have your company in my cabin, 'cause I get lonely sometimes. There's a little bird singing way up in the tree, he's the only one making any noise. And the sweet light smell of springtime flowers and the green grass is getting tall. Well, I may be lazy and I may be crazy, but I'd rather live in the hills. 'Cause I did my best to live like the rest, but I just couldn't handle the rush. It's a sweet, sweet smell of springtime. Birds are in the air. You'll find me in the sunshine. Life is everywhere. And the leaves are coming out and the sun's going down and the yellow moon is on the rise. Sparks are flying from the heat of the fire and there's smoke in my eyes. Sitting round the campfire, moon is on the rise. Soaking up the moonshine, smoke is in my eyes. Yeah, you'll find me sitting at the edge of the meadow, chewing on a willow weed. And I feel the cold wind blowing on my face, and I see the mountain so high. But I ain't got a car, and I ain't got no money, and I hope that you won't mind. 'Cause I'd like to have your company in my cabin, 'cause I get lonely sometimes.
Okay. Thank you, guys. And don't you have some CDs for sale, maybe, perhaps?
Not yet. We're working on
the CD. Okay. We'll be waiting. And now, a word from one of our proud sponsors, Downdraft Airlines. With us tonight is founder, owner, and CEO, Amelia Bearhart. Welcome, Amelia.
Thanks, Randy. You know, we at Downdraft Airlines, we strive to provide excellent service and live up to our motto, we drop you anywhere in the bush. We are once again proud to be sponsors of Alaska Home Companion.
So tell me, Amelia, what's new in your unique world of aviation, that is?
Yeah, aviation, definitely aviation. Yes, well, Randy, we're expanding. Yep, we launched our very special service last week into Lake Willowa.
Really? Exactly what kind of special service did you launch?
Well, actually, we're delivering 1,000 gallons of mat-made milk to the town once a week. We're increasing our runs and spreading it across communities. You could say we're milking it for all it's worth.
Oh. Wow. How eloquently put. How's that going for you?
Oh, it's great. It's just great. The folks love it. Big drinkers of milk.
Okay. So how can other people in the bush milk this? I mean, tap into this service.
Well, you just go to our website.
What's it called?
Well, Derriere. It's a gas.
Okay, then. thank you, Amelia Bearhart and Downdraft Airlines.
Oh, you're welcome. Well, I'm actually here for a purpose. Being one of the sponsors, well, I want to remind the folks out here that we have some backdoor prizes. Yep, right at the back door, you can win some prizes. In fact, for $2, there's some lovely ladies selling tickets for our backdoor prizes. And one of our backdoor prizes is this lovely, lovely portrait of Mona, as you can see here. And you can take a closer look at intermission, because we'll be selling tickets at intermission. Now, Ms. Mona was painted by members of the Valley Arts Alliance for the Alaska State Fair window display back in 2009. And she won third place. Good for Mona. And not only do we have Mona for our tickets, our backdoor prizes, but we also have two tickets to the Valley Arts Alliance Wearable Art and Runway Fashion Show that's coming up in February. In addition, we have two other prizes. One, Maddie has very generously sponsored or donated T-shirts, a T-shirt, two road signs, some lovely origami earrings, and, everyone needs a carton of Matt and Iskamay. And to top it off, Id Graphics is providing a bag of I Did a Poop.
Okay, on that.
And that's no.
Okay, and quite enough, Amelia. Thank you very much for letting us know what the prizes are.
Thanks, folks. See you out there.
At this time, I would like to introduce a pert-near lifelong Alaskan, A.J. Sims, and his alter ego, Moose Jaw. Welcome, Moose Jaw. Can you give the people an idea of what you're up to?
I had a lady named PETA out there, and she about tore my fur coat right off me. I'll tell you what,
look at you.
No one told me that there'd be people here. I thought this was a radio program.
Well, it is. Keep thinking that.
Ugly bunch, too. Hey, there's a couple cuties over there. Look at that. Woohoo! What's your name? Betty Lou? Huh. Well, she's pretty. I don't know about her name, but she's a pretty girl anyway.
So
I'll talk to you afterwards.
Moose Jaw.
I'm glad you corrected that. Yes, I certainly did. And I even wrote a book with my stories like Robert Service.
And isn't that book for sale?
It is right out there. Yes, indeed. Yes, indeed. In fact, I'm going to give it to you all for $10. Normally $16.95.
Does that
book... Unless you're a lawyer or a politician, $29.95.
Does the book mention the fact that the odds are good, but the goods are odd?
That's a pretty odd question there. I don't know about that. Well, I tell you what. You know, sometimes a feller can get lonelier than a moose turd in a herd of caribou. And I got to tell you a story about that. See, I had been out in the woods for many a month. Got as lonely as man could get. Now, alone in the woods, you long for the chance to share life with more than a pet. You know the canker, don't you? It's old as man. And Adam was the first to tell that man can't live by bread alone. He'd like a rib cooked well. So these fair-gendered thoughts came creeping in and stewed about the brain. I had to work my lines extra hard just to stay remotely sane. But every night, neath robes of fur, I'd dream of loves I lost. And I'd smell her lovely fragrance of her hair so gently tossed. In my dreams, she would stay with me and be my lovely bride. And I'd build a cabin just for her on the grandest mountainside. Sunsets. She would see the skies go dark. He would cuddle under dancing stars. The north lights bright and stark. Stay in such a dream, I'd have fought any man, devil or beast. But no. I always came to wake, forced to face life in its least. Till one day, on my line, I heard a dreadful sound. It was the sound of a mosquito, only far away and loud. It came upon my back trail, so I stopped the dogs to see that through the snow, approaching fast, came one of them snow machines. I stood and watched it come, as did my howling dogs, curious as a moose calf and struck dumb as any log. It made its way right to me and stopped before my feet. It seemed as though my prayers were heard, for a woman stepped off to greet, and she said, "I hear your days are lonely and you don't have one to share, the beauty of a sunset or the cool Alaska air. So I've traveled all these miles on this snow machine, you see, to see if I can't help you. You see, I'm here to set you free." She then took off her parka, stripped down to her long johns. I couldn't believe my eyes. I thought my mind was gone. But then she said in a husky voice, "Moose Jaw, you can take what you see." Since the long johns wouldn't have fit me, I took that snow machine.
Ladies and gentlemen, we are honored to have with us tonight an Alaskan legend, Mr. Matt Hammer. Welcome, Matt. Woo-hoo. So, you've been around the music world and this great state, but some of these chichacos don't know anything about you. Can you tell us about yourself?
This is a song that I wrote about one of my favorite people ever in Alaska. His name is Colonel Norman Vaughn. Norman lived to be 100 years and 4 days old. I wrote this song for him back one time when we were doing a benefit to help him raise money to run the Iditarod. We called them the Norm to Nome shows because we had a battle cry. Norm to Nome! Norm to Nome! And there were always three ladies in the corner going, "And back! And back!" Norman got spirit. One time Norman was standing in line waiting to draw his place in the Iditarod. Joe Reddington was behind him. Joe said, Norman, do you know how to tell when you're old? Norman said, well, Joe, I think you're going to tell me, so tell me anyway. He said, you know you're old when that circle in your wallet is an Alka-Seltzer. Norman used to say that he ran the Iditarod and it was just a camping trip. But he said to me this one year, he said, Matt, I'm going to go to Greenland. There's World War II airplanes that have been frozen in the ice, and I was the last one to see them. And I'm going to help them find those planes. And I call that a marvelous adventure. Wrote this with my buddy Doc Schultz. As soon as we start this, a lot of people are going to want to sing along. Please don't. We like the way we're doing it. So you can sing. It's a northern light on the trail shining bright. It's where the wind blows the cold down at 40 below. There's a race in the north. He's on the trail all alone. He's akin to the cold that only brave hearts know. Colonel Vaughn, it's a marvelous adventure marching on to a place in history, a man of courage with undying devotion to the spirit of adventure on the trail to destiny. Way back in 28, you heard the call from Admiral Byrd. 100 dots near the pole. It's something man had never done. But your courage was there. Down in Antarctic air. And the history in your eyes sparkles clearly that you won. Okay, you can sing if you want. Colonel Vaughn, it's a marvelous adventure marching on to a place in history, a man of courage with undying devotion to the spirit of adventure on the trail to destiny. Greenland you strive with your horizons aligned to return to a site where history hath rose from those wartime remains. You recovered the plane still akin cold that only brave hearts know. Colonel Vaughn, it's a marvelous adventure marching on. A marvelous adventure, a marvelous adventure, trail to destiny. And my wife, Lona.
Sorry about that, Miss Lona. I did not mean to leave you out of the introductions. It wasn't in my script. So Ray and Ann Lyons are here with more of Alaska Lyons Tales. Ann, what adventure will you be floating by us tonight?
A I'm waiting on the soggy sourdough. He just loaded his gear into the back of the truck. He and my son just got back from spring bear hunt up the Chattanooga River. I wish I had a nickel for every minute I spent waiting on that man. There he comes. Here's your blanket. You cold? Did you sink it?
Yeah, but I got her son back home.
What happened to the canoe is going to be slower and less likely to sink than your last boat.
Which it didn't work out that way. I mean, one minute we're going here fine, the next minute we're on the bank soaking wet, and everything's gone.
When did you sink?
Oh, yesterday around noon. You've been waiting long?
Well, you said be here by 10, but it's 5:30 now. I was about ready to call out the search party. Thought you might be hungry, so I bought you guys a sandwich.
Well, thanks, baby. Man, we ain't eaten since noon yesterday. You know, you got any coffee?
Yeah, and I bought some hot chocolate. Did you break your ankle?
Yeah, I think so.
When did that happen?
About midnight last night.
And you walked on it all night?
Well, I had to. It was colder than sin out there, and it rained all night. You ever notice every time something goes south in Alaska, it rains, you know? You couldn't even make a fire if I had a dry match.
Well, there's hot chocolate and coffee in that thermos there. Now, tell me what happened.
Well, we were doing fine. I mean, you know, the river was a little up, but it was fine. And they swept us in their bank, and the next thing I know, I'm under the water, under the canoe, coming up on the front side, all my gear's going down the river, and our son's hanging on that log out there.
You mean a sweeper over the river?
Yeah, but it sounds worse than it was. He had a good grip, you know.
Why didn't you just refloat the canoe?
Well, by the time I got the both of us onto the riverbank, the canoe broke loose and went down with the gear, you know.
And you lost everything?
But I got the paddle. Everything else went down the river. So then you have to go up the creek, but at least I had the paddle. You got to count your blessings one at a time, I guess, you know. You jump it where it's narrow and you come back down to the river.
And the ankle?
Well, I was going up a hill to cross one of those creeks, and a handhold gave way. I fell about 10 feet and broke my ankle. I felt it snap.
How did those guys find you?
Well, about noon today, it finally stopped raining. It was on a nice warm gravel bar where the sun was shining on it, so I told them to take a rest break because I figured we'd be walking again all night tonight. And these guys come down the river with all my gear in their canoe. And boy, they weren't happy because they salvaged everything and just lost it right there. So I made a deal with them. Get us to the rendezvous and take me back next week, and I pay them.
You do have a broken ankle, you know.
Yeah, but it ain't no big deal. They'll cast it in the ER. The plaster will dry in 48 hours. I'll slap a garbage bag on it and go up and get my boat. This is my boat we're talking about, you know.
Well, you sunk a boat with each of our kids, so I can't say that you were playing favorites. But it's good to know that we only have two kids. So much for the slow and unsinkable canoe. Well, let's get to the ER and see how bad it is, and we'll finish this talk when I get home.
Did the soggy sourdough know it would be five more years before he got another boat?
Hello?
Hello, Louie?
No. Hello, Mom.
Now, Louie, you could be a little more excited to hear from me.
Oh, I am, Mom. I am, but I'm a little busy. I've got an appointment later with my editor.
For your Alaska history novel that you started 24 years ago, Louie?
Many projects, Mom. I'm working on many projects.
That's okay, Louie. I've got a project, too. I'm training for the Iditarod, Louie.
That's a lot of work, Mom. You don't have any dogs.
I'll borrow some dogs from the Palmer Animal Shelter, Louie. I want to mush my loneliness away. My son never comes to see me. He's an only son,
Mom,
so I have to fill my life with
Mom,
dogs, Louie.
Mom, don't do this. I'll call you more often.
No, Louie. It's too late. I'll just disappear into the frozen tundra in Nome. I'll take my sled to the end of the river, and the ice will crack underneath me. I'll fall silently into a merciless crevasse. No one cares, and no one will come look for me. Even the dogs will run away, Louie.
Mom.
All because my son never comes to see his
Mom. Don't do this. Mom. I'll come over more often. I'll even take you to the Iditarod restart in Willow.
You would do that for me, Louie?
Yes.
You would do that for your mother? Here, Louie. Here, talk to your father. Pick up your phone, Fred.
Hello? Oh, hello, Dad. Well, good to talk to you. Goodbye. Good to talk to you too, Dad. Goodbye.
Louie?
Yeah, Mom?
I'll make your favorite salmon casserole when you come over. I can also ask that nice new MTA worker I met, that new gal who is also a heavy equipment operator, a real Alaskan, Louie.
Gotta go, Mom. Gotta go. Love you.
Love you, Louie. Bye.
Now, let's listen in on a day in the lives of two Alaskan sourdoughs, Mucky and Lucky.
Come on, girl. Come on, Becky. That a girl. That a girl. Come on. Whoa now. Whoa.
Whoa. Dad, burn it.
Oh, come on. Dad, what's wrong now, Lucky?
Dad nabbed it. Ah, I'll tell you, this dad bird critter's getting old and outdated. She belongs in a museum.
Yeah, kind of like us, huh?
Yeah, remember the good old days when we had a real live mule and none of these newfangled contraptions?
Oh, yeah, yep.
And remember when we used to use real tools like picks and hammers, shovels, and dynamite? We worked hard. We mined hard, played hard, drank hard, fought hard.
Yeah, we were real hard heads.
Go ahead and laugh. Just go ahead and laugh. How can we mine gold and silver now with all these newfangled technological gadgets? I mean, we got laptops, we got iPads, we got smartphones, we got Bluetooth. I mean, Why in tarnation did we ever spend our hard-earned money on all this stuff?
Well, stop your belly aching, Lucky. You know you love them toys. I mean, what do you mean? You know you wouldn't hammer and pick away at rocking a dank, dirty mine and surf the web and sip your latte.
Mucky, not so loud. Not so loud. You'll chase away the tourists. Yeah. Folks outside think we live in igloos and houses, eat whale meat and ride moose and polar bears. This high-tech stuff has just given us sourdoughs a bad rep.
Yeah. Okay, quick, Lucky, put that stuff away. Here comes some tourists.
Yeah.
Hey, folks, we're just heading into the bush for a hard day of work at the mine. Yes, sir, we're going to hammer and pick all day and night trying to strike it rich.
Yeah. Oh, Harold. Look, sourdoughs, aren't they cute? Can I take your pictures?
Oh, yeah, sure.
Oh, thank you. Oh, Harold, give these poor things a dollar.
They don't look poor to me. Say, can you tell me where they turn on the northern lights?
No. No, sorry. Nope. Nope.
Come on, Martha. The bus is leaving.
Bye, folks.
Bye, folks.
Okay, they're gone. Hey, take that espresso machine, will ya?
Ding, ding. Hey, look. Wait. It's a text message. It's from my broker. Looks like gold is dropping in value. He wants me to sell gold shares. And he wants me to buy electric cars. Shares in electric cars. Move over, Packy. Looks like you're heading to the Maddie. Brand new Tesla. Here we come. Come on, girl. Come on. Atta, girl.
Next, we have Alice Palin, not to be confused with that other famous Palin, recounting one of her unexpected encounters in the wilds of Alaska.
The best thing about living in Alaska is getting to talk about it after it happens. One of the best things to talk about are unexpected encounters. So living in Fairbanks, one of the best things about that is the easy visit to Denali Park. One April, shortly after arriving in Fairbanks, I read in the Fairbanks Daily News Miner that the road in Denali had been plowed and it was open to anyone who wanted to drive farther into the park. Well, this was really exciting because you could drive in significantly farther than during the tourist season in the summer. Realizing that this was a golden opportunity to easily get farther into the park to start a hike, I packed up my 14-year-old son and headed off to Denali. We drove in as far as we were allowed, parked the car, and proceeded to hike on the road, crossing the Teklanika River and exploring what was around each next bend. We had the place to ourselves. No one else was out. My son was a little concerned about wildlife, who had wintered over, especially the bears who might be waking up hungry. I wasn't worried. We were on an open road, and besides, the wildlife stays in the woods, right? So, at my urging, he continued with me, seeing what might be around each next bend in the road. We reached Peters Creek. By this time, my son was bored with the hike and proceeded to drop rocks off the bridge to see how big a hole he could knock through the ice. Curiosity getting the best of me, I went to see what was around yet another bend. So, when I go on hikes, I have little patience with people who bring their dogs. I know it's not the Alaskan way, but you hike with a dog, you don't get to see wildlife. So I was pretty disgruntled when a dog came out of the woods about 25 feet from me. Well, darn it, who's out here with their dog off leash? Now I won't see any wildlife. Mind you, the woods were thick, no trails. We'd not seen anyone on the road. So the dog proceeded to cross the road, keeping an eye on me and stopping midway through to look me over. Well, this dog had skinny legs, very bright eyes, a long bushy tail, and a pretty good looking coat. Not wanting to provoke this dog, I stood very still. Oh, by this time, my son came up alongside of me. Nathan, what do you think? That's not a dog, is it? And my question was answered when the dog continued to cross the road easily and gracefully, leapt to the top of a high snow berm along the road. He continued to watch us from the glistening snow-covered slope. Then another dog came out of the woods. Not paying much attention to us, leapt up onto the berm, followed the first dog. Two more came out. They gathered on the slope and horsed around as dogs do. One rolled around, the other just sat like your pet dog might do by the fire. And then finally, they started to cross the slope, single file. But the first one stayed behind, just to keep an eye on us. My guess is that was the alpha male in the Toklont wolf pack that roamed Denali. What an unexpected adventure.
Here again is Hilary Safran with I'll Be Seeing You. Well, folks, we'll be taking a short 10-minute intermission now. At this time, I'd like to remind you of the refreshments at the back of the room. There will be books for sale, A.J. Sims and Hilary Safran's books for sale back there. There may be a CD or two for sale as well. So drink, talk amongst yourselves, and then we'll see you back here in 10 minutes. And buy your tickets for your backdoor prizes. Don't want to forget that.
Here, we're going to do a little bit of interview right now. And I'm here at the Alaska, the Museum of Alaska Transportation and Industry, affectionately known as MATI. We're taking a little bit of a break here. This is the, what do you want to call this, this time between?
Well, it's an intermission between the two acts of our show this evening.
Okay, that's good enough. And John, you're interestingly attired here. Tell me about your role in this whole business.
Well, I am on the board of the directors here at MATI, and last year when they were doing this Alaska Home Companion, they asked me to join in a little bit and kind of represent the museum. So I'd had a minor 49er outfit that I'd worn for Night at the Museum and other Halloween stuff that we'd done. So I did a small skit. And then this year they asked me if I could add some more stuff in. So this year I'm kind of the quirky curator, I guess, is my costume this year. And
For the listeners who don't have the visual to go along with this, I see a tie that reads caution. Was this a gift, perhaps, or did you personally chose it?
No, I rescued that out of my garage. You know, I just tried to come up with something that I thought, was a little bit wacky on stage and might represent what might be a stereotype of maybe a curator here in Alaska, you know, of all these crazy things and a caution tape or something like that seemed like an appropriate tie for the curator here at MATI.
Well, you look like you're having fun, and in fact, I think most people here, both in the audience as well as on stage, are having fun as well. Carmen Summerfield, I'm going to call her over here to join us in this whole process. Come on a little bit closer. Carmen, how are you doing?
Good. It's another great show. Thanks for broadcasting this for us. So.
Yeah, we've been streaming it very nicely, and we've also recorded it. We've had a few little difficulties in our broadcast, but we'll take care of that. And once we've recorded, we thought we might rebroadcast it at a time that would allow everybody to hear that as well. Mm-hmm. And I'm going to check and see where it would be best to put it, so we'll make sure that everybody knows exactly when they could listen to it if they happen to miss it tonight. Okay? So you two seem to be working well together. What's the secret of your success, John?
Well, Carmen and I have been on the board for several years together, and while some of the other board may disagree, she and I are the two rational members of the board. So we try and bring stuff together here and make it work, but also Valley Arts Alliance has really been a big part of MATI in the last couple of years, certainly with Carmen bringing quite a few events, this being one of them. Art on Fire is another big one in the summer. And so we've really bonded with the VAA people and really found a common niche for entertainment and also some history here in the Valley.
I know when Nan Potts was in and we were talking about it, we talked a little bit about this being a venue that at first thought would seem to be interesting. Mm-hmm. But as we looked at it, and when you're here and you look around, you'll notice that it's filled with those kinds of items that are part of an Alaskan scene.
Yeah. And then the next thing coming up, which was a brilliant idea, Sherry Jackson, the director here, was is Night at the Museum.
So
that's coming up a week from now, the 26th. And she's actually looking for people to help out. If you just want to dress up as something interesting, and she has outfits, I think that's really neat.
Of course, when you say a night at the museum, you think of the movies and all the rest of that.
It's a Halloween event.
Of course.
And you have kids, John. They love it, right?
Well, yeah. Well, it's kind of in tune with what a lot of people are doing these days. It's kind of a safe place to Halloween, but I don't know that any place is unsafe. But if it's cold at Halloween, we are set up in here. We have costumes. We have kind of the haunted train. We set up a thing for the kids to come through and get candy, and we're all in character. And so we call it Night at the Museum. And it's a fun event. We get a lot of kids in here, and gives us a chance to kind of hang out here and play.
And maybe experience kidhood once again yourselves. Although I've seen Carmen over the years, and I'm still waiting for her adult side to show.
That's right. I think we're all kids, though, I think, right?
Okay, Carmen and John, thank you for taking this opportunity during the break here to talk a little bit about what's happening. And you can probably hear in the background the sound of people who are obviously talking about both what's happened, what's going to happen, and just in a joyful crowd.
If I could say one more thing, just to touch on what you were commenting on earlier about people are having fun, and I think that's what really makes the entertainment here. We're not a Las Vegas show, obviously, but I think everyone's here to have fun, and that's what really makes it entertaining for everybody, and I think that's what brings people together here.
Okay, well, we'll be...
That's the Arts Alliance trying to bring people together through the arts. Perfect. Yeah.
What could be wrong with that? Okay. Well, thank you. We'll be continuing the show in a little bit here. And right now, I'm going to say that we're streaming this event over our meeting stream and also over our FM stream. And we're working on some of the technical issues that are associated with our FM stream. But if you're missing part of this on the FM, stay with us. Look, check out both our website as well as our Facebook posting. And we expect to be able to broadcast this entire show again. And I think you would enjoy it. So right now we're going to do a little bit of a break. And we'll play a little bit of music and see just what can come up next. I see people moving a little bit toward stage. They're gathering, putting a few instruments together or down, checking them out and seeing what all that means. And I expect the audience, which is still wandering about, enjoying the museum and talking to one another, they'll be doing something like sitting down and getting ready in a few minutes. So we'll hold on to that. Meanwhile, a little bit of music here.
KVRF Sutton and K208 Palmer, Radio Free Palmer, broadcasting on 89.5 FM, Big Cabbage Radio.
Rebroadcast it at a time that would allow everybody to hear that as well.
Mm-hmm.
And I'm going to...
Okay, I know no one lives forever. That's by Oingo Boingo. Surprisingly, I kind of like it. We're going to try going over again to Museum of Alaska Transportation and Industry, where they're doing interviews.
So Valley Arts Alliance has really been a big part of MATI in the last couple of years, certainly with Carmen bringing quite a few events, this being one of them. Art on Fire is another big one in the summer. And so we've really really bonded with the VAA people and really found a common niche for entertainment and also some history here in the Valley.
I know when Nan Potts was in and we were talking about it, we talked a little bit about this being a venue that at first thought would seem to be interesting, but as we looked at it, and when you're here and you look around, you'll notice that it's filled with those kinds of items that are part of an Alaskan scene.
Yeah, and then the next thing coming up, which is a brilliant idea, Sherry Jackson, the director here, is Night at the Museum.
So
that's coming up a week from now, the 26th. And she's actually looking for people to help out. If you just want to dress up as something interesting, and she has outfits, I think that's really neat.
Of course, when you say a night at the museum, you think of the movies and all the rest of that.
It's a Halloween event.
Of course.
And you have kids, John. They love it, right?
Well, yeah. Well, it's kind of in tune with what a lot of people are doing these days. It's kind of a safe place to Halloween, but I don't know that any place is unsafe. But if it's cold at Halloween, we are set up in here. We have costumes. We have kind of the haunted terrain. We set up a thing for the kids to come through.
Okay, we're
going to
play around a little bit with the sound. Apologize.
So we're
listening to The Doors briefly, and now we'll see if we can go back to. We'll see if we can go back to Maddie.
And yourselves. Although I've seen Carmen over the years, and I'm still waiting for her adult side to show.
That's right. I think we're all kids, though, I think, right?
Okay, Carmen and John, thank you for taking this opportunity during the break here to talk a little bit about what's happening. And you can probably hear in the background the sound of people who are obviously talking about both what's happened, what's going to happen, and just in a joyful crowd.
Mm-hmm. If I could say one more thing, just to touch on what you were commenting on earlier about people are having fun, and I think that's what really makes the entertainment here. You know, we're not a Las Vegas show, obviously, but I think everyone's here to have fun, and that's what really makes it entertaining for everybody, and I think that's what brings people together here.
Okay. Well, we'll be...
That's the Arts Alliance trying to bring people together through the arts. Perfect. Yeah.
What could be wrong with that? Okay. Well, thank you. We'll be continuing the show in a little bit here. And right now, I'm going to say that we're streaming this event over our meeting stream and also over our FM stream. And we're working on some of the technical issues that are associated with our FM stream. But if you're missing part of this on the FM, stay with us. Look, check out both our website as well as our Facebook posting. And we expect to be able to broadcast this entire show again, and I think you would enjoy it. So right now we're going to do a little bit of a break, and we'll play a little bit of music.
I've been thinking about you ever since. I can't wait till you come home to stay. There is something about you that keeps me here with you. I can't wait till you come home and there. Sometimes when I'm down, you can make me feel alright. All in the way that you smile, you can tell me things that I never knew before. You can make it all seem worthwhile. I have never had a friend who meant so much to me. Never have I loved like I love you.
fan ads in the New York Times. You know, a marketing campaign. Something like, our fish are dying. We need your help to find out why. Send your donations today. What do you think about that?
That's great. Yeah, we could set up a post office for donations. Money would flood in.
Yeah, but we need a good slogan for that.
Oh, I got Save Our Salmon. S-O-S. Save Our Salmon.
That's it. That's a great idea. People will give money hand over fist. They're always looking for a cause. People are stupid enough to buy into this.
We should target the East Coast. I can come up with some pretty convincing language on how we're trying to treat this particular problem with this salmon.
Yeah, but we got to be able to explain how saving salmons are going to help the whole country.
People have donated to less credible ventures. We spent hours hiking, talking, laughing in the rain about SOS, Save Our Salmon. By the end of the hike, the topic SOS was pretty much exhausted by dinner. Sitting around the galley table after dinner.
Ma'am, I got a sliver here in my hand, and it's bothering the heck out of me. Does anybody have a needle?
Real Alaskan women, raw, would take the sliver out with a chainsaw.
Our real Alaskan men, Ram, would chew their hand off and get on with it.
It escalated from there. For the next several hours, we made lists of what Ram and Ra, real Alaskan men and real Alaskan women, would do in every conceivable situation. We laughed, and we laughed, and we cried. We're easily amused. So goes field work with the guys.
Ladies and gentlemen, here again is No Wake with Simple Things.
No.
Excusez-moi. I digress. Guy DeNorth will be here in a moment.
It was a beautiful autumn day in Palmer. The kind of day that only gets 3 inches of rain and 40-mile-an-hour winds. I was sitting in my office on the Palmer-Wasilla Highway when I heard a knock on my door.
Guy, your rent is due. If you don't pay up now, I'll have you and your collection of old Sarah Palin for governor posters out of here by Tuesday.
Don't worry, doll. I know I'll get a case soon. I'll pay you in 2 days.
Yeah, you said that 3 weeks ago. I don't need the stress, Guy. It's bad for my facelift.
Oh, I thought you were wearing a Halloween mask.
Very funny. I'll see you Tuesday, Guy.
Come in.
Hi. Are you Guy DeNorth, Private Eye?
She walked in and looked around. Her legs were long, so long that they began at her neck. Her dress was so tight that I could read what country it was made in. She was so beautiful that she would have turned Steinbeck's The Grapes of Wrath into a fine wine. That's some dress you have there, miss.
Tallulah. My name's Tallulah, but you can call me Nellie.
Well, Miss Nellie, what can I do for you?
My boyfriend is missing, Mr. DeNorth. He was last seen buying a Halloween costume on eBay.
That would be online, Miss Nellie.
Oh, I thought eBay was a brick-and-mortar store.
The only brick-and-mortar here, Miss Nellie, is the beating of my heart when I look at you. Are you sure you still have a boyfriend, Miss Nellie? Maybe he was going to give you the slip.
You can call me Tallulah, Mr. DeNorth. And Felix, my boyfriend, hasn't given me lingerie in years.
What do you know? One of my Sarah Palin posters is coming alive. That's enough, Tallulah.
Felix, you're disguised as a Sarah Palin for a governor poster in Guy's office.
That's right, Tallulah. I knew you'd come here. I wanted to know if you really loved me.
Oh, Felix, you can call me Nellie anytime you want to. Let's have a romantic evening at the Matty Museum. Who knows? I might even fit into a good time girl's outfit. I just love having a good time.
I was hoping you'd fit in with me, Miss Tallulah. Called Nellie. Called Tallulah. But I can see you two are meant to be together.
Bye, Guy. Thanks for the help, anyway.
So I went back to work, contemplating life's most persistent questions as I stared at my vintage Sarah Palin for governor posters. As a drink to you, Tallulah and Felix. Have a nice life, kids. Then I'll take a little visit to the Maddie Museum, see if they need some security.
And now, ladies and gentlemen, here again is No Wake with Simple Things.
Yesterday keeps growing all the time, and I've been too long chasing rainbows, walking for the far side of the hill. And just when I think my life is moving, it's just when I find it standing still. Within this prison where the only inmates meet, trying to find a hidden key.
Support the Iditarod Sled Dog Race. And my particular mission this day was to fly from McGrath back to Anchorage at Merle Field to bring back what we call drop dogs. So those that got a little tired and the mushers decided that they better let them rest and send them back to their dog handlers in town. So this particular two-hour flight would take me over the Alaska Range, and Rainy Pass was the fastest route to the destination. I asked the head dog handler at McGrath to select dogs of the same gender, hoping that I could avoid complications on the flight. The Cessna 206, with rear seats removed, provided adequate room for 15 average-sized huskies to either sit or stand. Plenty of room to be comfortable for a relatively short flight while tied to a cord laced between the seat rails. I added newspaper just in case. I loaded 15 tired but polite ladies into the back, secured the drop lines to the floor, opened my flight plan to Anchorage, and took off. All was going well during the climb to altitude. Good visibility, no turbulence, the good things that pilots like to see. Rainy Pass was a little bit above me, not far ahead, when it happened. All of a sudden, all hell broke loose in the back of the airplane. Growling, barking, the fur was flying everywhere. The center of gravity in the aircraft was changing so fast I had a hard time keeping up with it. These tired gentle ladies were in the middle of a rumble, and I had to gain control quickly. Then I remembered some advice that one of the first pilots for the Iditarod, Larry Thompson, some of you may have known him, he shared a tip with me several years before. So during the climb, I released some back pressure on the flight controls, and all those critters in the back experienced a little bit of zero G. That change was enough to completely distract my 15 canine combatants, and they suddenly did not know where down was. The snarling stopped immediately as the ladies tried to relocate some pressure beneath their paws. As I slowly increased back pressure on the controls, my passengers located the floor, and down was again reestablished. The remainder of the flight to Merle was uneventful, and everybody arrived safely and unharmed.
Okay, I apologize for the little mix-up there. We are now broadcasting live over the radio and the broadcast stream.
I guess you could call me an old pilot, but, you know, in Alaska, old is good. And it reminds me of this story when I first started. Some Alaskans speak little and seldomly waste words. Old-time Alaskans are sometimes rather stone-faced when they first meet them, but when they do speak, they speak clearly and express their opinions in such a fashion. Sometimes an apparent derogatory comment is actually a compliment, and I guess that is one reason I love Alaska. There's never a dull moment, and there are plenty of special ones. I started this air taxi service in 91, and being a relative chechako by most standards, I needed some local credibility. So I decided to let my gray hair grow long, what I have of it, which isn't a whole lot, but I got a good gray beard growing here, and I thought that I could establish some credibility and local trust with a change of appearance. So one day, I got a call from an elderly woman. Her voice cracked in a slow drawl as she asked about the cost to fly an hour or so over the Talkeetna Mountains to a place where she grew up as a child. It was a very remote log cabin built by her parents where they lived off the land. I explained that the Cessna 206 was a rather expensive aircraft, the only one I had, but it was tough cost-wise for one person. But that did not deter her, and we negotiated an appropriate price and set a date for the trip. I arrived early at the Matsu Resort dock on Wasilla Lake, refueled the trusty float plane, completed the checklist, and waited for my passenger to show. At the appointed time, I heard the gravel on the boat ramp echo her shuffling footsteps, and soon a very petite, elderly lady appeared in view near the shoreline. She looked in both directions, and when our eyes met, I asked, "Can I help you, ma'am?" And she gave me a serious, rather studious look, more like a once-over, and asked in a scratchy but strong voice, "Are you my pilot?" And I answered, "Yes, ma'am, I am your pilot." She cracked a smile, and that old wrinkly face got a glint in her eye and replied, "Oh, thank God you're old."
No pilot like an old pilot. Carmen Summerfield, our roving reporter for tonight, has news regarding the recent Water Towers on Parade event and upcoming Valley Arts Alliance events.
Newsflash, newsflash. We have high winds in Palmer. I know it gets windy in Wasilla. But we have high winds in Palmer. And wait a minute, what do I see over there? What is that? Oh, it's the Water Tower. From Palmer. It uprooted and blew all the way over here. What's going on? I also heard there was something going on like water towers on parade, so I think our water tower paraded all the way over here. Is that right?
Yeah, I have been blown away by the Valley Arts Alliance. Your mission of bringing the community together through the arts is amazing.
Well, tell us a little bit about your outfit.
Well, let me tell you, this outfit, which was created for the Palmer Chamber of Commerce art auction, is a classic example of bringing the community together through the arts. My wonderful little cane here, or my center pole, is actually been donated by a friend of mine, Diane Boyd. And this hat was actually given to me for the outfit by someone we all know. And Palmer Library let me use their elephant dye to create this upstanding Palmer. The Recycling Center donated materials so my Palmer would stand out. And it's just like contributions from people over and over. And this outfit is now sponsored on several occasions in the future by Benders of Hair, which raise funds for the Palmer Chamber of Commerce.
So you have graffiti on your back, huh?
I do.
It's Bender's Affair, all right. Every water tower needs a little graffiti, I think.
And I will be blown away again in February.
That's right. We have the Wearable Art Show February 15, and this is a sneak preview. She'll be on the runway again, and it's called Blown Away.
So
February 15 at the Palmer Depot. Thank you, Nikki.
You're most welcome. See you there.
Another newsflash. We actually have your backdoor prizes. So Nikki's going to pull the backdoor prizes out of the bucket. And I know you can't read them, but we'll mention the numbers real quick. And for the audience at the radio show, we won't take too much time on this. Okay. So the backdoor prizes were for Mona there, and then we have a T-shirt back there. Of course, I did a poop and some other items from the Maddie, as well as two tickets to the Wearable Art Show.
I have the first ticket, Carmen.
Go ahead.
And the first ticket's number is 523-5796.
Just remember that. That's good. Especially because you can't see your tickets, but that's all right.
And I don't really know what it's for.
They'll be at your board. They'll be at the board out there. So.
But I can pick tickets with the best of them. 523-5809. I forgot to bring my glasses.
And if you remember all these numbers, all of them, you can have my car. It's a 25-year-old Toyota Corolla. Hey, it's a museum piece.
Twitchy.
I know.
5235827. How many of these do I pick?
Four.
Okay. Oh, we're almost there. And last but not least, the wonderful number is 5235832. Boy, I almost feel like the fundraiser the other night.
There you go. Thank you very much. Thank you.
Good luck.
Ladies and gentlemen, once again, Matt Hammer with Ms. Lona.
This is a lot of fun. Are you guys having fun? I didn't know what to expect, and I'm certainly happy about the way it's turned out. I'd like to do a... When I came to Alaska, I came up here in 1976. I was playing at a place called the Anchorage Westward, which is now the Hilton. And I was there for 3 months, and I fell in love with Alaska. There was a big sign that said, once you've seen Alaska, every place else looks like Kansas. And they're pretty right. Anyway, it was expensive, they said, to live up here. Well, I found a cabin for $50 a month at the Sunny Kinnick Resort. And I stayed there for a whole winter. And I, you know, cooked on a Coleman and packed the water and had a... is that guitar coming out? Okay, good. I read Robert Service. And I read those poems over and over and over. And suddenly, because I'm a songwriter, I put them to music. And this is one that I absolutely loved. Lona and I are going to be leaving Alaska. She leaves in about 3 weeks, and I stay behind, and hopefully we'll sell the house, and I'll get down there. And you wonder how somebody that loves Alaska this much would decide to leave, and I love the grandkids just a little bit more. You have kids, they have kids, they ask you to watch them all the time, and then they just up and leave. Anyway... this is a song I want to dedicate to that cabin over there in Kinnick, but I want to dedicate it to all my Alaskan friends. Oh, and can I get a hand for my wife, please? Please. More. Happy wife.
Happy life.
I figure every morning when we get up, the first thing I say is, "Hon, do you want to go to Kohl's?"
too.
Oh, dear little cabin, I've loved you so long. Now I must bid you goodbye. I've filled you with laughter, thrilled you with songs. Right now I wish I could cry. Your walls have witnessed too weary for fight, wrung from a one Waterloo. Oh, in my triumph I'm dreary tonight. Goodbye, little cabin, to you. Your roof is bewhiskered, your floor is a slant, your walls seem to sag and to swing. I'm trying to find your faults, but I can't. Your tired, broken old thing. I've seen you and you've been the best friend I had. You're lying like a gem on the snow. I'm growing a party now, and I hate little cabin to go. Below your cracked windows, red raspberries pine. The hornet's nest hangs from your beams. Your rafters are scribbled with adage and rhyme, dimmed by tobacco and dreams. How cold, still and lonely, how weary you seem. One last look, then I'll go. Will you remember that boy and his dream, the one that you comforted so? The evening is calling, it's drawing the night. The north star shines in the sky. Oh, it's stinging and stabbing my sight. God bless you, old cabin. Goodbye.
Right now, I'd like to share the latest news from Lake Willowa. They had a pretty nice summer this year. My friend Frankie reported it was hot and dry. And when that happens, folks out there take advantage of that kind of weather. You know, there's great fishing out there on the lake and on the river. Luther Green runs guided fishing trips out of his store. Luther told Frankie how one of his young guides named Daryl took the two Horner twins on a float trip down the river. He instructed them how to cast and watch their bobbers, lines, and rods for indications of a strike. Well, it was one of those warm, sunny days at the end of June when the interior beckons one to their natural state. Heidi Fries was one of those bodies who decided to do just that, and she picked a nice, quiet spot along the lazy river's bank to sunbathe au naturel. As Daryl and the two boys approached her peaceful repose, Daryl, being the responsible adult in the group, spotted her loveliness first and attempted to distract the boys. He repeated to them to
watch your indicators, watch your indicators.
As they drifted down the river just abreast of her, and being as sharp as a hunting knife in September, the two youngsters spotted Heidi. Their jaws gaped open and their eyes widened. Daryl shouted to them,
watch your indicators!
But it was too late. Without hesitation, both youthful voices dropped an octave and in unison told Daryl, you watch your indicators. It also looks like Minnie Hooch, one of Lake Willowa's most honored seniors, sporting 89 summers, finally had her driver's license suspended after last winter. Now that she is unable to drive, it may be a bit safer on the road, but seems as though she's becoming the town's most vocal critic. As one of the town's founders, she feels obliged to keep the community on a stable fiscal track. So when she got wind of Father Patrick's proposal to the parish to purchase a new chandelier for the church, she penned him a scathing letter admonishing his irresponsibility in the matter. She wrote,
in the first place, we can't spell it. And in the second place, if we can't spell it, We can't order it from the Sears catalog. And thirdly, what we really need are lights.
Her daughter, Wendy Pond, Lake Willowa's own librarian, later clarified the matter with her mother and apologized for her.
Mother has seen the light and is willing to be the ray of hope in raising the funds.
Frankie has a writer friend named Tim Johnson who submitted an article to the Lake Willowa Post.
One fine fall day recently, the phrase in common came to have special meaning to me. As I stepped into a crosswalk at an intersection, a large black pickup roared through just a few feet in front of me. Quite considerate of the driver to take off when he did, don't you think? Why, if he had delayed a couple of more seconds, he would have run right over me. As I turned to perhaps give a salute to get the license plate number, I noticed a bumper sticker that read, Born Free. What a coincidence. Fancy that. It's a small world, because I, too, was born free. As I continued my walk, it turned out that I was going in the same direction as the gallant knight on the black metal steed. As I passed the library parking lot, I realized that he had parked his pickup right there. My gaze fell again on the bumper. He had many stickers. I noted that one read, I'm a patriot and I love America. Wow. Another extraordinary coincidence. Imagine that. I, too, am a patriot who loves America. What are the chances of such a junction of personal philosophies by two individuals?